Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. He's kind of a big deal, just not quite big enough to get his name in the title of the show. This is The Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt and Jeff Blair. Drop that low. On Toronto Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt. The Grey Cup game goes Sunday in Winnipeg. Jeffrey Orridge is commissioner of the Canadian Football League. You can follow him on Twitter at commish13. Jeffrey Orridge joined Stephen Brunt and myself. Jeffrey, thanks so much for doing this morning.
No, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Grey Cup in Winnipeg, obligatory weather question. What are you hearing about the forecast and what can you do about it to make it better?
Here for Winnipeg, it's going to be absolutely balmy.
So minus 27 we're talking about.
No. We're actually talking about minus 4.
Oh, okay.
And sunny. So great playing conditions. I mean, football was meant to be played outdoors, and certainly, you know, it doesn't bother people anywhere else in North America. I think the weather is not going to be a problem. But I will take credit for it.
Okay. I would say in my experience, the people who say football is meant to be played outdoors are always guys like us sitting in press boxes. But that's, you know, that aside, you know, I covered that 91 game there. It's still the coldest football game I've ever been at. And I was very happy to not be outside where football was meant to be played. Jeffrey, you're coming to the end of your first season in this gig. What have you learned about this strange animal that is the Canadian Football League?
You know, I think it's the passion of the fans, which is incredible. I went to a Saskatchewan Rough Rider game when they were 0-9, and they were still sold out. I think, the resilience of the teams because of the passion of the fans and the commitment of the fans is something that's really unique and special. You know, you've got Ottawa, who's playing for the Grey Cup Championship. They were 2-16 last year. So I think that's a testament to anything can happen at any time. And that's the great thing about the league. You know, it's unpredictable, it's exciting, it's entertaining, and you never know what the final outcome is going to be. So it's been a great experience for me. And, you know, half of the games have been decided by 6 points or less. And, you know, almost half of the games have been decided in the last 3 minutes. So what gets better than that when you're looking at a live sport experience?
You know, Jeffrey, I think most people look at the Ottawa Red Blacks and say you guys hit it out of the park in terms of having Jeff Hunt and having that ownership group and having that the way that whole situation developed. But, you know, you talk about a team that was 2-16, and I know you weren't commissioner then, but is your sense that there was any concern because of the Red Blacks record that maybe things weren't being done the right way, or at the end of the day, did you get the sense from, and have you gotten the sense from talking to people that because the ownership group was so strong that, you know, it was eventually going to be okay? Yeah, there was going to be a learning curve. There were going to be growing pains, but that eventually it was going to be okay because you had committed local ownership.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I think committed local ownership is essential. I think a great stadium, you've got to have a great place to play that will attract people and keep them there. And it's not just for the game, but it's the wraparound experience that Ottawa has created as well. And I think, you know, you've got strong partnerships, you know, local corporate partnerships. But the most important thing is the partnership and the relationship with the fans. And the fan base was there and it was strong. So quite frankly, I had no doubt that it was going to be successful. The success on the field certainly translates to success in business in this case. And it could have been a longer build. We're excited. And quite frankly, I think most people in the football community are surprised at a second-year franchise vying for the championship. But I think that's, once again, that's what's great about this league, that anything can happen at any time. And as long as you have the right components in place, the chemistry comes together, magic things happen. And that's what's happened for Ottawa. It's been magical for them.
Now, it wouldn't be the CFL if there weren't some challenges. And, you know, tomorrow morning you get to do your the annual commissioner's press conference at Grey Cup. So I'll, you know, give you three of the things that you're going to get asked about, and we can deal with all three of them if you want. You know, there's some challenges facing the league in terms of TV ratings being down. There have been complaints about officiating, although I've been hearing that my entire life. And I guess the other one is just, you know, is Toronto. There is some light on the horizon now in terms of BMO Field and new ownership, but this was a dreadful, dreadful season for football fans in Toronto. You know, home games being played in Fort McMurray and Hamilton home. I'm putting the little quotation marks around home. A really, really tough year when it felt like the previous ownership just had thrown in the towel completely and let this thing, kind of ran it into the ground. So you can take those three in order if you want: TV, officiating, and the Argos. And you know where are we headed in all those directions?
Okay, I'll take them in order, and I'll go backwards in order. Let me talk about the Argos first. I'm going to say two things to the Argos fans: thanks for sticking with your team, and it's going to get much, much, much better next year at BMO Field. It's a beautifully refurbished venue. We know that it was a difficult year for the Double Blue and all their fans for reasons beyond our control. The football team's resilience was remarkable and a tribute to the coaching staff, Coach Milinovic, and Jim Barker, and especially the players. And I'm sure and I know that we're looking forward to what can really be the start of an amazing new era next year under local ownership with Larry Tannenbaum and Bell and a great venue for the CFL at BMO Field. Now, none of these things are silver bullets. None of these things are panaceas. But we're not going to have the same displacement issue that we had this year with the unprecedented run of the Blue Jays. And I think that, once again, great environment at BMO Field. It's by the lake, beautifully renovated stadium. I think things are really looking up. And when you've got, two-thirds of MLSE, that ownership, who know how to do things and know how to do it right. You've got Michael Copeland, who's the new president and CEO, coming on board there, who's been with the league for 9 years as the president and COO of the league office. I think all good things. So that's the first thing. Secondly, officiating. Hardest job in any professional sport, even amateur sport, is officiating. I think we all understand that. And probably the hardest job in sport, in all of the sports, is officiating at the CFL. The field is a lot larger. There are so many people in motion all the time. We've had rule changes that people have had to adjust to. And oftentimes, just in terms of the player compliment and coaching compliment, there are all kinds of adjustments that have to be made. So, our best can always get better, but I really take my hat off to the officiating that we have. And you know what? Anytime you have a human effort and a human endeavor, there will always be an opportunity for human error. And so that's what we see. But when we make mistakes, we admit it and we try to get better. That's on the officiating front. We're obviously going to look at it like we do every year and figure out how we can improve upon it. And we'll work not only with the officials, but we'll work with the coaches and the players, the organization, to see how we can get a better product developed, because that's what it's about. It's not about perfection. We are in an imperfect environment. It's about improvement. So that's officiating. TV ratings. Something that we're always aware of. And, I was in broadcasting for 4 years with CBC prior to this. And television in general, the linear format, has changed a lot since the advent of the digital age, right? A lot of people are consuming sport in a very different way, and they're consuming it online, on their tablets, on their mobile devices. So I think there's always fragmentation there. We do have a strong base. TSN and RDS continue to do well by us to promote and market and give great coverage of the game, and a great broadcast property. So I'm not that concerned. There's been a perfect storm this year. We've had the Pan Am Games, FIFA World Cup, the Blue Jays run, unprecedented activity in the sports landscape in Canada this year. I think that's honestly taken some of the attention off of the CFL. So, is this a trend? I really like to look at this as a data point, but a data point that we still have to analyze.
Mr. Commissioner, I know that your time is valuable today. You've got a lot in your plate. We appreciate you doing this.
No, it's my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Jeffrey Orridge is Commissioner of the Canadian Football League. And again, the Commissioner's News Conference, the State of the League News Conference, will be carried on Sportsnet 360. Tomorrow,
man, I covered a lot of those in my life, and there were some, it's a very, it's a fun league to cover,
But, yeah, that's why I started out covering. I loved covering the CFL.
But there were years, you know, when I think of all of the stuff going back through the American expansion and various times when the league was hanging by a thread and the various characters who were in that chair over the years. It's not like covering a lot of other leagues because the stuff is kind of right there just below the surface. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I root for the CFL as a guy. You know, I'm a Hamilton guy, and I'm a season ticket holder in Hamilton. I like the league. You know, I always have to qualify that because anybody, you know, hears you're from Toronto, they automatically assume you hate the league. You know, I like the league a lot, but it is, you know, it has great challenges, and I think it's going to be really interesting to see next year here in Toronto, what happens. You know, what BMO does for them, and it will do something. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, the novelty of being in that building and being in a building that. Soccer fans are going to hate it, and they're going to hate everything about the Argos being in there, and they've made that opinion very, very well known. But, you know, I think they will get a bit of a push from it. The question for me is whether, you know, you can turn it into something that is part of the sports conversation in this city, given the amount of real estate covered by the Leafs and the Blue Jays and the Raptors. Mm-hmm. You know, even TFC, we talk about TFC a bit, and there is a, you know, not much of an MLS conversation, really. There's a bit of a TFC conversation.
There is a TFC conversation.
You know, no one's really talking about the Columbus Crew here or anything like that. But, you know, can you get to a point where people give a damn about who the quarterback is or beyond that? You know, kind of roster questions and competitive questions and real sports talk, not just wither the Argos. Because that's the only conversation that we've had here for the longest time was, what's going to happen to the Argos? Are they going to survive? Can the league survive without them? You know, we went through, you know, very strange ownership phases where there was the hell's a poppin', we're going to do all kinds of crazy spectacle, and then there was the penny pinching, we're not going to spend a dime. Is there a way to make them relevant in a way that, honestly, they have not been relevant since the 1980s?
See, I think the secret is going to be to get people initially into BMO. If they do that, I think BMO will sell it. BMO will sell itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't stress this enough to people. You've got as much as there isn't an Argos fan out there pining for the Rogers Center. At least you were dry. And I know it's football. Football's meant to be played outdoors. I get all that, but you've got years. You've got a generation of fans who aren't used to getting snowed on.
Yeah, no, eventually they're going to have a roof, like a cover, a soccer stadium.
It'll be covered, yeah.
So, but it'll still be damn cold.
But it'll still be cold.
In the fall.
It'll still be cold. I mean, I think it'll help them tremendously. As I said, I love BMO Field. I mean, I go to a lot of TFC matches. I love everything about BMO Field, and I think it's going to help them. It's going to help them tremendously. I just don't know if they are going to get that push in the first year. A lot of people think they're going to get. I think they're going to have to entertain people, too. The stadium will be enough initially to get people in there. Once they're in there, I think people will like it. You know, they'll like the concessions. They'll like the atmosphere. God, if it's a nice afternoon and they're playing there, it is going to be just spectacular down by the lake. But they're also going to have to entertain.
Yeah. No, it's part of it. Although, you know, it's sometimes I wonder about, like, they have been entertaining at times. You know, they've had good teams. They've won great cups.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to know what actually, you know, what pushes that button. In Montreal, when they moved to McGill, and again, you have to put that within context as well, that it, you know, it turned into a place to go in a very small stadium.
Yeah.
And it's walking distance from
downtown.
It's
also a fluke they had to do it. I mean,
it was a fluke they had to do it.
You too kicked them out of the...
And they never had a bad team in all those years. Yeah. And it kind of turned into... Montreal's a very much a kind of a festival and event, outside of the Habs, a festival and event town, right? And it turned into a once-a-week party.
It's a place to go and drink and watch football with a bunch of friends.
But, you know, they also, the minute they expanded that stadium from 20,000 to 25,000, they didn't sell out anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things with BMO is, I think it's a little too big, you know, which is a weird thing to say, but it's 30,000 now, right? You know, Hamilton built their stadium. Hamilton Stadium's 23.
Yeah.
And they have managed to pretty much sell it out. You know, and that's kind of a good number. Scarcity is good. Winnipeg's bigger, right? Because it was, you know, but 30, you know, I don't know. Like, when's the last time the Argos sold 30,000 seats a game in Toronto? It's been a long time. So you might, you know, I think there's going to be an initial push there. But if you're putting 24,000 people in a 30,000 seat stadium, it's not going to feel like, you know, this is the happening thing. And perception here, as much as product matters and all kinds of things matter, and good ownership definitely matters, but perception is huge here, right? If you're perceived mm-hmm. to be a success or a failure, Toronto FC, because they filled that place fast, because the fans were part of the show, was perceived to be a success right from day one. You know, people kind of, all of skepticism about soccer in Toronto kind of evaporated once people got in the stadium and said, man, this is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually, they got a boost that they probably didn't fully deserve. But if there's 24,000 people watching a football game in a 30,000 seat stadium, people are going to perceive that as failure. And that's
still only a 3/4 full stadium.
Yeah. So the optics are going to be big, it really matters. Perception is reality here in a lot of ways. So I root for them. I hope it works. It would be also nice to be able to talk about football in this city. You know, the only city in North America where you can't talk about football.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk about the NFL as a distant thing, but this is the only place where there's no actual local football that matters.
Yeah, that is pretty remarkable when you think about a city this size. The RCMP held a news conference this morning. You may have heard this report yesterday. I believe it was in the National Post first. August 31st, around 3:30 p.m., two men were spotted on the John Street Bridge, which is near the Rogers Center, by a passerby. And it's a pedestrian bridge, and it connects Front Street with the CN Tower and the Rogers Center. On Wednesday, police released photos of the two men. Both are described as being between the ages of 20 and 30 with medium builds and brown skin. And the RCMP is asking anyone with information to call 1-800-387-0020 or to provide provide information anonymously through Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-TIPS. The 680 News website will have photos of these two gentlemen. When I saw that report, I thought, there's, obviously the RCMP is involved and what they're calling it a suspicious incident. But then the RCMP held a news conference this morning, which I think automatically raised people's suspicions, automatically got people's attention more than even the original news report did. Mark Douglas of 680 News covered the news conference, and Mark Douglas joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So, Mark, what is the upshoot of the RCMP's news conference today?
Well, Jeff, they're not sharing the details of exactly what these two men were spotted doing down by Rogers Center. They say that's still under investigation, and under no circumstances are they going to release those details. But they say that this one passerby, and again, it's only one person who reported mm-hmm. this, they say that this one passerby spotted something suspicious, phoned it in to local authorities who contacted the RCMP, and they've brought all their tools into bear on this. They've gone as far as they can, so now they're appealing to the public for help. They've released these photos. We have them up at 680news.com, so everyone's encouraged to have a look. If you think you know who these two guys are from August 31st, contact Crime Stoppers or the police or the RCMP right away. But what the what the Mounties are saying today is that they have some surveillance camera videos and images that is backing up the concerns of this one passerby who phoned this in. So they do have something to be worried about. But again, they're not saying what exactly these two men are doing. The date of when this occurred is very significant. Then Prime Minister Stephen Harper was going to be at Rogers Centre that evening, August 31st, to check out the Jays' batting practice for a sold-out game. So you can understand why the RCMP took no chances with this and began this full investigation.
It's also, the date is significant because it's a long time ago. I mean, August, September, October. Well, it's a fairly long time ago. Why the delay in having this news conference and releasing these pictures?
Well, that was one of the first questions reporters put to RCMP Superintendent Lise Crouch. The RCMP say that they have been working on this diligently ever since the report first came in. Now, in fact, what they've done in the time between August 31st and now is uncovered six or seven related events surrounding these two men caught on camera. Now, all of those six or seven other incidents have all been investigated, and they've been dismissed as non-criminal. They were suspicious at first, suspicious enough to get a closer look at, but they've checked all that information out. Nothing wrong was going on there. However, this original incident from August 31st down on the John Street Bridge, that is what is suspicious. So the RCMP have not been dragging on this. They want to make that clear to everyone. Yes, there is a large span of time between when it happened and when they're talking publicly about this, but they've been investigating all this time. Again, they've simply done everything they can from their end, and now they really need some help from the public to identify these two men.
So six or seven other things that same day? Is that what we're talking about?
Within about a week of the August 31st occurrence.
And they're convinced it's the same people.
They believe it's the same people, at least related to the same people, but they've checked out these six or seven other items, and they've all been cleared. Now, they talked a little bit about those six or seven other incidents and said, for all they know, these were tourists that were just down in the area. Again, they're not releasing any details. They're going to give away too much information about their investigation. But again, six or seven other incidents all been cleared. It's only this August 31st activity down on the bridge at John Street that they're still concerned about. But again, they're sort of trapped in their own investigation in that they cannot release details about what these two men were doing there.
And this is the pedestrian bridge that goes over to the CN Tower for people kind of trying to get a fix on this. But we don't know what they were alleged to have been doing around that bridge, correct?
Absolutely not. The very first question that myself and two or three other reporters all tried to ask at the same time, what were these two men doing there? And the RCMP superintendent flatly refusing to describe it. It's all under investigation, and they can't give away too much at this time. These men are not described as suspects. They are only persons of interest right now. They need to find out what these two guys were doing there on the bridge, but they do have enough evidence to be concerned and to process all this work through their national security system.
Mark, we appreciate you joining us this morning. Thank you.
Jeff, Stephen, you're most welcome.
Mark Douglas of 680 News. Again, the pictures of the two gentlemen in question can be found on the 680 News website, and the RCMP website has high-resolution photos of the subjects as well on their website. It is interesting that the RCMP would feel that there's enough there to go public with this.
Yeah, I don't know. Just what a bizarre and in many ways terrible world in which we live right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I find this one. Like, I know due diligence is in order these days, and everybody should be aware because things do really happen. But this,
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So they were the same two guys who apparently were doing six or seven things that were declared innocuous.
Yes.
And then one thing that wasn't. Okay. I have no idea.
I would think that a lot of that, we don't want to speculate, but I think the date, the significance of the date probably has something to do with it.
Yeah.
That would probably raise alarm bells.
Yeah.
Especially given what we've seen lately. It would raise alarm bells with people. But again, the pictures of the two gentlemen are on the 680 News website and the RCMP website as well. So Carey Price got hurt again last night.
Yeah.
The Canadians won again last night.
They won, and they won comfortably, and they had won without Carey Price when he was hurt before. But this looks a little there's no update on – well, of course, there's not. It's hockey, right? We don't even know what part
yeah.
– you know, it's somewhere on his upper or lower body is injured, correct?
Yeah, and I'm just calling it up and watch. I watched it a little bit. It looked very uncomfortable. I mean, he's such a long – big guy that any sort of injury, I mean, anything like that is gonna look uncomfortable. But we already know that Mike Condon is going to get the start Friday against the Devils. That much we do know. As Steven said, no update. If you watch the replay, Price's right leg sort of, he's trying to move across the crease. It's in the second period of a game in New York, and it just bends awkwardly. It's kind of odd. And as I said, when you see it, you kind of, your first reaction is, wow, that doesn't look right. Ren Lavoie is one of our NHL analysts. He's one of our NHL insiders. He's with TVS Sports and the Journal de Montréal. And we'll talk to Ren Lavoie about the latest injury to Carey Price. And, you know, the Canadians already without Brendan Gallagher, now without Carey Price, can they keep it rolling? Ren Lavoie joins the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt when we return on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show. Hockey Central at noon is just around the corner. There will be football on Sportsnet Ontario today. There will be football. It is Thanksgiving, south of the border. And Thanksgiving means football.
Take the day off, folks.
Yeah. Eagles and...
That's what you should do. Take the day off. Check out after lunch.
Eagles and Lions at 12:30. That's not worth taking the day off.
No, probably not.
Actually. Panthers and Cowboys, 4:30.
I'll be watching that.
Bears and Packers at 8. Depends. Probably didn't do a great job of selling it, did I? All the games are on Sportsnet Ontario. Eagles and Lions at 12:30. Panthers and Cowboys at 4:30. Bears and Packers at 8 p.m. Everybody watch every one of those games.
Like I said, I should play.
Every minute of it.
I will actually be at Puck Talks tonight. Talking about...
You're going to be at Puck Talks? How did that happen? Someone get sick?
Yeah, Leafs 65 to talk about the book.
Oh, my God.
So I will be there.
Who else is going to be there?
I think Elliot's going to be there.
Elliot?
Elliot Friedman.
Wow.
Yeah, and a variety of others.
Have you been to Puck Talks?
No, I've only...
I wonder what their crowds are like.
I'm told they're different than Pitch Talks.
Yeah.
But it's at the Monarch Tavern, which is kind of cool.
The Monarch Tavern's a great place. You think there's probably fewer hipsters, because Pitch Talks, they're like hipster heaven.
People with ironic beards.
Yes, ironic beards and Ah, Chris Johnson, Richard Petty,
yes,
and John Shannon are also there.
Yes, so many people who know more about hockey than me, but I'm going to talk about Leaf 65. Yeah. So that'll be fun.
I'd be willing to bet that there'll be a lot more people in dress shoes at hockey.
You think so? Bedini's there too. I think Dave Bedini too, right? I think he's doing something.
What is he going to sing? Going to recite poetry?
He's going to talk. He's going to talk about his. Well, what's Dave doing?
Travis, we're getting the shrug. Anyway, Bedini will be there as well. Fun. Yeah, and the Monarch Tavern's worth it. It is a cool place.
So there's my plug.
Okay.
I think there's a couple tickets left.
I'm just surprised. I never had you figured out as a Puck Talks guy.
Well, you know, I've written many books about hockey.
I know you have, and I know you're currently plugging a book on hockey.
I'm plugging that picture book, which is a great book.
It is a great book.
And I'm currently working on one for, actually, the Bob Cole book for next year is going to be really good. I got to tell you. I'm doing Bob's book for next year. It's really going to be fun.
Well, I bet it will be. And you've actually, we've had a few chats about it, and there sounds like there's some...
Oh, it's a hoot. Yeah.
Great stories.
He is, all of...
He is a good storyteller.
Bob Cole's life before he ever called a hockey game is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I'm looking... That is a labor of love.
That'll be fun. I look forward to that. So again, if you're going to Puck Talks, Brent's going to be there. You're going to have some of your books too.
I'm sure they will. Yes, I'm sure that's the idea. So I will be there, and we'll sign them.
I can tell you, having seen the book, it is great. It is a great Christmas gift. Having seen the book, it is a great Christmas.
Yeah, it's different,
gift.
Right? It is. The photos are really different. The story. We told the story before, but it's a guy who was sent up to photograph the Leafs training camp in 1965. A guy named Lewis Parker, who's a visual artist, not really a photographer by trade, but. And then the magazine was supposed to be for McLean's, and they never got used. The story got spiked. But he went up there, and he didn't shoot. He wasn't like a hockey photographer.
So he shot stuff interested him.
Yeah, so it's the guys in their hotel room, or guys sitting around smoking cigarettes, or at the lunch counter in Peterborough. And it's just a very different look at, what turned out to be the same team that won the Stanley Cup in 67, essentially the same guys.
Must have been really odd for the players to have that.
I think somebody
can't imagine they were used to.
No. And he said, but I love and the reporters wearing hats, right? Yeah. Like Dick Beto is wearing a hat,
Fedoras.
Fedoras. Yes. Talking to Imlek in the stands, and everybody's smoking.
Yeah.
I love the picture of the guy smoking in the dressing room. That's still kind of great.
Yeah. And if you're like me, I am a sucker for old sports photos of any sport. I love old photos, black and white, old color photos, whatever. I'm a sucker for it. It is a great book. And there will be copies available at Puck Talks today. At some point, they're going to have to bring Ren Lavoie in for Puck Talks.
Yeah, that would be
You should drop a bug in Mr. Kennedy's ear.
I could do that.
Ren Lavoie's our NHL insider. He's from TVA Sports and the Journal de Montréal. Ren Lavoie joins us on the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt. What's up, Ren?
Hello, guys. How are you today?
We're doing well. We're doing better than Carey Price in some ways. True. What the hell happened? Do we know what happened last night with that injury?
Well, it's an old injury that's still bugging him, obviously, since a long time now. As we know, Carey Price wasn't 100% during the playoffs. So that's what Michel Therrien told us during the summer. So that explained maybe why versus the Lightning he was not as sharp as he was versus the Ottawa Senators. Now, an injury occurred during the game versus the Edmonton Oilers 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And he seems to twist his right leg / right knee during that game versus the Rangers last night. It occurred with 10 minutes left, around 10 minutes left in the second period. There was at one point, I remember seeing Andrei Markov asking him, are you good? Are you okay? And Carey said, yes, I'm good. I'm okay. But he wasn't there to start the third period. And it seems to me that he's not going to be back soon. You look at the Montreal Canadiens management, they're going to recall Dustin Tokarski later today. And now it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do. Because Markov was scheduled to play and to be in that Friday versus the Devils. And Saturday they are playing home versus the Devils. So can Mike Condon play a back-to-back, or is going to be Dustin Tokarski for one of those two? That's the big question. But to be honest with you, it's not good to see Carey Price leaving like that, knowing that this is an injury that's bugging him since a long time now.
You know, Brent, in any other sport, we'd be talking about whether he has a knee strain or, you know, a hamstring issue or a groin or whatever. Only in hockey would we be not know what an injury he suffered last season was. Yeah. So which leaves us to speculate. But do you think, is it a knee? Is that, you know, can we say definitively he has, you know, some sort of a knee injury which is, you know, not bad enough to have required surgery in the offseason?
Well, that's the thing. Talking to a few goaltenders in the league in the last few hours, it's obvious for them that it's a knee injury. But at the same time, there's a lot of people who are thinking that Carey has a nip issue, too. You know what? My feeling is, and I'll be honest with you, there's not only one problem. I feel that there's multiple problems on his right leg. Be related to a groin issue, too. I mean, this is a goaltender who's battling hard right now to make sure that, you know, he can play. Telling Carey Price he won't play a game, he's going to be upset, I'm telling you. He really loves to be in front of his net, and he really loves the game. So, but at this point, I think there's multiple problems. Maybe the knee is the biggest one. So, and the management will have to make a decision, and doctors will have to make a decision. You cannot have a season like that with a player like that. This is the best player in the NHL. If he needs to rest for 2 months, let's say it's 2 months.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think the last thing that management wants to hear is you need a surgery.
Right.
If you need a surgery, this is going to be longer. And like a lot of people told me today, Renaud, there'll be never a good time for Carey Price to have a surgery because, first of all, they still have a chance to win the Stanley Cup this year.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, remember that in September, you have the World Cup. So let's say he needs to go under the knife next spring. Well, will he be ready to play for Team Canada? So what's the priority here? That will be the big question for a lot of people. I'm not saying that Carey Price needs a surgery. I'm just saying that if you need to take that direction, when would be the best time to do it?
Yeah, no, it's a hell of a bind, you know, both for the team and, you know, and I didn't even thought about the World Cup, but you're mentioning it. But, you know, this is a guy, so we're at the end of November, and here's a guy that you need to be 100% healthy in June, right? Because you look at this team, it's now, we're Stanley Cup or bust for this mm-hmm. team right now, right? So you need Carey Price in May and June. How do you manage an injury so that, you know, look, and they have adequate, maybe better than adequate backup goaltending with Condon and Tokarski, yeah, right? That's both guys can play in the league. Both guys are going to, and they'll win a lot of games with both those guys.
Yeah.
So, but how do you manage this injury, especially knowing that, you know, he wasn't right last spring? It clearly, the summer off was not enough to make him right. That's a very, very tough call for the organization. If, in fact, as you say, maybe he needs to be shut down for 2 or 3 months.
That will be, you know, a big call. But knowing how the management is thinking, they're going to do everything to make sure that Carey will be back at 100%. And if he needs 2-3 months, they will give him 2-3 months because they know exactly what type of goaltender he is, what type of person he is. And we all know he's a battler. But 3 weeks was not enough, as we've seen. He played only 3 games, re-injured himself really quickly. I mean, you look at this situation and you have to wonder what's the next step. Today, the team's going to practice in Jersey. Actually, they're jumping on the ice as we speak. So this is going to be an important moment for the organization to give an update to the media. Will it come to the day? Don't know. There's a chance they're going to tell us that he needs to see the doctor in Montreal first, so it's going to be during the weekend that we'll have an update. But something needs to be said. Do we need to shut down Carey, and for how long? And as of right now, it's I think everybody is, and maybe the management is in the dark a little bit, because it's exactly the same injury. At first, remember, they told us he's going to be out for 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
It took 3. So we have the same issue now, and it's still a problem. So 3 weeks was not enough. Should we go 6 weeks? Should we go 8 weeks? What's the best decision? That's going to be really important.
Now, the other news out of Montreal, Ren, is Marc Bergevin's contract extension, which, you know, well-earned, and I know he is incredibly highly regarded by the fan base there and obviously by ownership. How much, at this stage, how much of a package deal are he and Michel Therrien? I kind of looked at this season coming up and thinking, well, you know, if they fall short in the playoffs, Michel's going to be in trouble, you know, let alone if they fall short during the season. Oh, but is, okay.
No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, Michel just started the contract extension. I'm telling you, this is not Mark is not thinking that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. Mark is not going to fire Michel Therrien if they lose in the first round or if something bad happened. This is not the way the way Mark is thinking. This is not the way Jeff Molson is thinking. Those people are thinking exactly the same way. Stability is the key. And by changing everything because you have a bad moment, if it happens, I'm telling you, you won't see Marc Bergevin firing Michel Therrien just because the team didn't play the way it's supposed to play. So, to be honest with you, forget it. If Michel Therrien fired, and Mark's going to tell you that one day he will be fired too, but Michel is fired, it's going to be because the players don't respond anymore to him. And I don't see it coming at all. They have mutual respect in this dressing room between the players and the coaches. Michel is asking for a lot, but the players are responding the right way. So to be honest with you, I don't see it. Hey, guys, I have sadly to leave you because I'm in the middle of a rehearsal for the NFL game starting in 2 minutes.
Go ahead, my friend.
All right.
So take care.
Enjoy this beautiful football day.
Take care.
See you, Ren.
That's Ren LeVar, man of many. Many talents.
Wearing many hats.
He does.
He's on TVA today doing
TVA
football.
TVA doing football. He does Jays baseball as well in TVA. So there you go. It interesting that, you know, Marc Bergevin, I mean, thinking back to my time in Montreal, that's a job that's eaten up a lot of real good people and a lot of really strong people recently. But Marc Bergevin just seems to have, I mean, he almost from the get-go, he just seemed to be the guy with the right touch.
He's a very impressive guy, Mark Bergevin.
He's a
very, very impressive guy. And, you know, he took a risk on Therrien because Therrien, yeah. you know, that's the can you come home again and do it again? And Therrien was a guy that had a lot of rough edges and, you know, I think has grown as a coach. It's interesting, you know, but so Bergevin's security is Therrien's security. And, you know, continuity, you know, you don't, it, but I think in sports, there's a little, people are, ownership is realizing a little more of the value, you know, that if you have good guys, you lock them up, you don't look for the scapegoat, you know, instantly if things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the kind of, you know, from Jeff Molson on down there, that organization looks very, very solid. I'll tell you the one thing, though, you know, no matter what you think of the Habs, whether you're a Habs fan or you hate the Habs, it'd be a real shame this year if Carey Price, at the height of his career, you know, with a good team and a chance to win a Stanley Cup and then a chance to go right from that Stanley Cup into the World Cup and, you know, be Canada's goaltender in the world, if this season is marred or wrecked
by an
injury. That would be a terrible, terrible shame.
I'm just thinking, what type of a hockey year would you have with Connor McDavid out as a result of an injury and Carey Price out as a result of an injury?
Yeah, well, just take some of the, you know, those are two, from a Canadian point of view, those are the two stories, right? You know,
yep.
And like there's other stuff going on and there are, you know, other reasons to talk about the Canucks or the Flames or the Jets or the Leafs or the Sens. But really, Habs having a chance to win the Stanley Cup with the best goalie in the world and, as Ren said, the best player in the world,
mm-hmm.
and then the arrival of a generational player in Edmonton and all the excitement around that. Well, right now both those things are on hold. And, you know, if you're neutral, you know, or if you just like hockey, it just kind of puts a damper on what was looking like a pretty cool season. So I just think for the sake of everybody, I'm hoping Carey Price, you know, that he's not on the shelf for 3 months and that at some point he's 100% and that they take a real run this spring with him in goal and you know, maybe win a Stanley Cup. I think it'd be a great thing.
Yeah. And, you know, Ren does point it out to you, point out the fact that at some point you begin to wonder, okay, is there something almost chronic here? Is there something, and if there is, it's got to be addressed. And generally, being addressed means surgery or a prolonged period of rest or both.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough decision. I mean, you've got to have Carey Price ready for the playoffs. That's true. But
not to be the dead horse, but isn't it ridiculous we have no idea? Like that. Tell me what purpose is served by us not knowing or the fans not knowing what's wrong with Carey Price.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Explain that one to me.
I've given up trying to figure it
out. You know, we know Tony Romo had a broken collarbone and that was out for 8 months or 8 weeks, and now he's back. I don't think that means that, you know, somebody's going to – well, maybe it does mean somebody's going to jump on his collarbone today and try and break it. But
I'll tell you, the only time I've ever had a GM, I've ever had a lengthy explanation given to me about it. J.P. Ricciardi talked about there were – but it was a specific case. I'm not going to say which player, but he said there was some fairly significant insurance concerns involved with the player. And I wonder if maybe that is something to do with it. Somebody scared that somebody says that it's a groin, it turns out to be something else, and a lawyer gets involved. But
I don't think so, though. It's just – it's ridiculous, isn't it? Like, it's the only sport that really plays it this way.
Going to watch some football?
I believe so, yes. I have several other responsibilities today, but at some point, yes.
Hockey Central is next. Mr. Brundle, join me again tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.